Hello, it's Kathy Love here. I'm a business coach who helps allied health professionals run powerful and profitable businesses in the disability sector. It's my pleasure to share up more private practice stories and wisdom in this, our third season. My guests are generous, creative, and honest. It has been such a joy to be able to hold these conversations and capture these moments for your listening pleasure. We're sure that you'll really enjoy these unplugged chats and these private practice heart-to-hearts. So settle in, let's get the conversation started. Welcome, Sandra D'Souza. We have done it. We have connected in the podcast space. So for everybody listening, Sandra is the founder and CEO of Curate B, and we're going to be hearing a lot more about what that is. And she's also the author of a really interesting book that I have just purchased pre-hitting record called The Social Media for Baby Boomers, How to Translate Your Decades of Knowledge and Experience into Social Influence. And when I read your title, I actually wondered whether I was a baby boomer, so I better go and check with Google, but I'm sure it will be awesome anyway. So, Sandra, welcome.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you for having me on your show. I've been really looking forward to joining you today.
Oh, back at you. So how about you round out the introduction and tell us a little bit more about who you are and what you do and a little bit of a hint about Curate B, because we'll be getting to that a bit later.
Sure. So I guess just on the book thing, the book was actually it's designed for anybody above the age of 35. And by then you you have a kind of like a whole stack of experience, and social media is not just about Kim Kardashian. It's about having your digital legacy, about sharing your knowledge. And that's where I feel very passionate about. And above the age of 35, and I don't think you're a baby boomer to read it. I think you have a lot of knowledge that which you're doing and you're sharing, and so that's what it's designed for.
Good. They said niche, and you did.
Thank you. So a little bit about me, I guess. In addition to founding and running a digital marketing agency that is designed for small business, I'm also a mother of an 8-year-old daughter named Allegra, who's has, among many other challenges, she has cerebral palsy. And so from very early on, my husband and I were pretty much thrown into the whole medical world and allied health world, which we really didn't need to. I've never really had an operation or any ailment until I got pregnant. And I'm not saying that pregnancy is an ailment, but certainly that was my first intro to that part of the world. So as a marketing person, it was really interesting, and as well as a business person as well, interesting how the rules are different and how the approaches are different and maybe a little bit archaic, if you don't mind me saying.
But I think I think you're possibly being generous. But there's also massive change, which is really exciting. So there could be this leap from archaic to contemporary in
absolutely
years. We're going to just save decades on ourselves.
Well, I think I do see there's been certainly a more on the allied health side of things, that there has been a change and a more open-mindedness in terms of how you need to engage with your clients. And certainly seen a lot of changes in the last 8 years from what it was at the beginning to what's available now, and how everybody's taking a slightly, I guess, more positive approach to it.
I suspect when your little gorgeous girl was born, there would have been very little by way of social media for the occupational therapist and the speech pathologist, even less so if they were government-run community, you know, medical sort of services. Was there anything that you were finding?
So in those days, which seems like ancient history now, I did a lot of Google and I went into a lot of forums. So
Dr.
forums
Google
were very big.
Him or her,
yes,
Dr. Google.
Dr. Hill. Yeah, well, I call myself Dr. Google or unregistered nurse, and the medical staff loves that. Caring for the nurse. So rather than calling myself a carer, I say I'm an unregistered nurse because it just, you know, is what we learn. Yep. But yes, back then it was very much a lot of Googling and a lot of forums. I read a lot of forums before the days of Facebook. And even though Facebook was available then, it was still quite early in terms of a lot of people embracing it. And I didn't embrace it right away. Funny enough, it was only really a few months later on down the track that I used it as a tool to communicate the updates of my daughter, because I just didn't want to do phone calls after phone calls and text messages after text messages. I said, look, if you want to know what's happening with my daughter, be a friend on Facebook. I post it once, everybody knows. And that's how everybody kind of started following her updates through that way. So I guess, Kathy, I can certainly get into of my observations about as a consumer.
Go for it. Go for it. Love to hear. It's almost a historical document, isn't it, I suspect?
Yeah. So I think what I was quite surprised even back then, so even though I did a lot of Googling, I was surprised how little information that was made available about any medical and allied health professionals. So you could not even find a website sometimes in terms of
the loving business partner just sort of exits stage left with a
exactly
the right amount of noise.
they just cannot be quiet, even though I've told them to be quiet. But anyway, so hopefully you could edit those bits out.
Oh, they might stay in. That's life. So what did you find back then?
I found forums to be actually the most helpful way of finding information. And I read a lot of books. And through the books, it helped me to work out certain keywords that I needed to use to give me the access to the right information. Because in that world, a lot of it is quite jargon related or terms are quite foreign to me as a new, I guess, patient or mother of a patient that it certainly was hard of like trying to even work out what is the right word that is necessary to use. What is the terminology?
Oh, nowadays we use sort of consumer or client, or in the NDIS world, it's participant. But I guess you were a consumer. You were trying to find information with which to learn and make decisions and engage the next person, place or thing.
Exactly. And also to find the right information. So the hospital would hand out pamphlets. There's a lot of pamphlets in the paper version of information that was given to me, and I like to validate it on Google and just to check. And then also that they may use certain terminology, and I would Google. I spend a lot of time on Wikipedia understanding the terms, what it means, because of the language that they were using, which is all very foreign to me at the time. So, you know, this is essentially, so if I could put on my marketing hat, what I've just described is the start of a buyer's journey, and that is the awareness stage and understanding what is the pain that I'm going through and what are the trigger points for me to do the research to find services that I don't know are out there and how to find them. And similar to to the professionals or the specialists, therapists, and that is like, how do they get found by people who don't know that they exist and they can help?
And found by people who don't know that they don't need them yet.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So that awareness piece. Were you in the marketing world back then, 8 years ago?
No, I wasn't actually. I was very much in a strategic business world with the work that I was doing. And actually my past life, I started off as an accountant, but I worked very many years in management, and I spent many years in media and IT. So it was all very much in the strategic side of trying to understand what the audience would want when you put a product together or a show or anything. And obviously there's a lot of hit and miss, but certainly numbers, we do a lot of analytics, which is why it translates quite nicely into digital marketing, because we analyze for our clients, and I'm not trying to be salesy or anything like that, but a lot of the stuff you got to test and measure, and it is really through measuring that you realize that you kind of like understand, okay, if you're spending some money, what works, what doesn't work, and then you have to always keep making sure that you listen to or you watch the numbers and then follow the numbers.
Yeah. I'm trying to imagine what it would have been like as a new mum and a new dad, and you had this little bundle of awesome, but it was a different sort of awesome than what you kind of thought you were going to get. And you've got this strategic, number-driven marketing kind of operational brain on your head, and yet you're kind of just in this archaic world of quite crappy websites and loose, dodgy, non-existent social media. And I guess what's tricky about Wikipedia and forums is you don't always know who's written it and how old it is. So there was a bit of a, am I kind of close in saying it was a bit of a struggle to get the information that you needed?
Absolutely. It was a real struggle. And I found the best way for me to find the information was to talk to other parents in support groups, and also in the waiting rooms, and as well as any early intervention group therapy that my daughter was taking. I spoke to all the parents, and that's where I found the best information and the best service for her.
And the gossip. The gossip.
Oh, yes.
And who's doing what and who works this way and what that price is there. And I think that's really, really important in any marketplace. But in the sort of disability service providers marketplace, it's actually sometimes a point of anxiety for business owners, right? I think it's
great. Well, it is. It is, because it's about customer service, and a lot of the decision that we've made is really based on the word of mouth. It's like, okay, don't use this therapist, don't use that specialist, because whatever their experience. But the thing is that I don't only just take one parent. It always happens. It's like there's a group of parents. Like, we even change hospital based on the feedback of parents. Who, one hospital, the feedback, I'm not going to name any names.
No, in this please show, don't.
Obviously. Yeah, but one hospital, basically, every single parent that I've met has always given a negative view about the hospital and the frustration that they have. And then I met another group of parents who always gave a positive view about the hospital and their experiences. And I just thought, well, if I'm with this group and all we do is whinge about them, and I hear this group and all they do is rave about them.
I know which party I want to be at.
Yeah, and so we moved hospitals just on that. And I actually think they saved her life, and that they have made her life so much better. And so it's not about being the best at what you do. It is a lot of it. It's about listening to the parents. It's about customer service. It's about respecting it. The one hospital and the, the professionals around it, and I'm really generalizing the terms, which the professionals, I will refer to them, whether they're medical specialists or allied health, felt that they were centric to you, and that you had to put up with their inflexibility, their approaches, their world, where the other hospital, the centric was around the family. And so they work around your emotions, your stress levels, your life, your challenges, and make your life easier. And what you get is a more trusting environment, more collaborative environment. And I saw the difference in health is that I think if we had stayed there, Allegra wouldn't have lived for so long. And it was a case of this environment, the patient-centric care, is what made a difference for her.
That's extraordinary to hear, because I heard that you had one option that was system-centric and the other that was patient-centric. Mm. All in the one big metropolitan city. And yes. I guess that exact same principle can also be applied to allied health professionals in private practice. As you know, they're the guys that I engage and love to work with. And yes. we hear about family-centered practice and person-centered practice, but sometimes it's a little bit of an academic thing, and we read about it and we think we're doing it and we kind of talk to the team about it. But to actually hear the stories of our clients, I think is really, really important to really help us align and reflect as to whether we're actually nailing it and delivering it rather than yeah. just talking about it.
And look, you know, I've had many conversations with the group that were more system centric, and they felt that in order to be knowledgeable as possible, that it had to be system centric. But the thing is that what I've observed is that the ones who are patient centric are actually not, I wouldn't even say just as knowledgeable, but their knowledge shone. If that's a word, yeah, shine, Sean, in by being patient-centric. And the fact that it felt like what they were doing is far more effective, their approaches, their methods, far more effective for the patient, which is my daughter, than the system who they claim to be world-class.
Yeah.
And so it's I see it in my world, in the marketing world, and I do deal with a lot of technology companies. It's almost like you're comparing between corporate versus innovation.
Ooh, loving it. We call that the big guys and the little guys.
Yeah. And so the big guys, well, I mean, the thing is that the little guys surrounding the corporate still had a very much corporate culture and system centric. And then the innovation, if I call that, the little guys around it, and their approach is patient-centric, but they know how to integrate their knowledge into this approach, and it almost feels like it's innovative in making their knowledge to be far more superior.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess the little guys, you often have a direct line to the boss and you know the whole team. They're agile, they're responsive, they've got a bit of flex and give and take around their service delivery model. Often a little, what's the word? I'm going to use the word down to earth. That's not quite what I was fishing yeah. for. But
approachable.
You know what you're getting. Yeah, approachable. Yeah, approachable.
Yeah.
Okay.
Certainly approachable, and certainly they understand the challenges of the family. And they may have their own set of rules and compliance that they need to follow. And I'm not saying they're not compliant, but they what they do is that they say, okay, you know, rather than just calling the receptionist for emergency, send me an email. They'll give me the email address, and find ways of how it's easier to communicate with them, or yeah. your mobile phone numbers. And we're respectful, I guess, knowing that we only use that in the case of where we urgently need them.
Absolutely need something. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. I'd like to invite you to talk a little bit now, if we fast forward to this year, say, what do you think that allied health professionals, so OT, physio, speech, psych, music therapists and so on, what do you think they need to know from a parent perspective in terms of how they position and promote their businesses?
I think I'm going to say this based on our research as opposed to my personal experience, but and that is that the Facebook is an absolute source of customers for them.
Mm.
And if they don't, true, but certainly from a business perspective, that if you don't have a Facebook page and you're not actively using Facebook, they are missing out a chunk of business. It doesn't mean that they shouldn't have a website. They still need a website. They still need to do a number of other things as part of the buyer's journey. But certainly Facebook is where the parents talk. They make it easier to share. So if I replicate the experience I had 8 years ago, what it is that from the physical and forum experience is now happening in Facebook. And Facebook works in a closed ecosystem. And that is that you share the links and all that unless you have a Facebook account, and it makes it easier to share Facebook pages rather than links within the closed ecosystem with all the mums and things like that. And there is also groups, obviously. The yeah. forums have turned into groups and they talk openly, whether it's closed group, secret group or open group. But certainly the demographics also shows that a lot of mums use Facebook actively to source information and to get fellow mums, fellow parents, for recommendation and for information.
Agree. And I've told this story that I had a Facebook business page quite early on and absolute rookie, really did not have much of a plan other than I understood the broad concepts, and I would be getting likes on the page, and then about 4 weeks later, those names, I would be seeing those names on our referral forms, and it took me just so long to tweak where I'd actually seen them. And there was just that watch, wait and wonder approach. How does she speak? What voice does she use? What does she believe in? What is she posting? Is this the real deal? Blah, 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 blah. And that they yeah. were referring in, and it happened enough times for it to be more than a coincidence. And I'm a big fan of Facebook. And it's about what I tend to suggest to some of my clients and people I meet is to get in and get started, and to get in and practice and start to watch other pages and get some ideas, and your strategy will become obvious, and then with some coaching and guidance you can really hone it and tone it in. And it's important for a lot of allied health professionals to be offering value and help and interesting information, and that it isn't just a sales tool. That doesn't always make us feel comfortable. So, big encouragement to get in, get started, and then you can refine it as you go along.
And you're absolutely right, Kathy, because even though I'm talking about using Facebook as a way to get customers, the content cannot be all about you and it cannot be salesy. Yeah. It's actually, like you said, what you post, you start off with it, just be yourself. And what is it that you do? Talk about what you know. And that's all you do, just post articles, what you know. And the whole experience, so there's research that shows that 70% of your prospective customers actually do a lot of research online, and by the time they come to you, which is your perfect example, is that they're already a customer without talking to you. And that's because they are finding your voice, they understand your personality, they think, this is the person I want to meet and help my child or help myself, because I like what they're posting, I like their voice, I like their values, I like what they're talking about, I get what they're saying, and I relate to them. So I'm going to come and use them. And what you won't get is somebody actually meeting for the first time three or four of the same therapists just to see which one suits them. They do all the research online now.
That's a really nifty way of saying it. Okay, yeah, that's true. Yeah, nice. What would you say to allied health professionals who are quite worried about launching into Facebook because they're worried about what people will think?
Well, I think, to be honest, if you are...
Please be honest. I expect nothing less.
It's almost like saying, well, I'm not going to have an office or a practice. I'm just going to, you know, have it in my bedroom because I'm afraid of being out there to invite clients. You know, it is no longer a choice. It is an absolute necessity, like websites, like email addresses, like phone numbers, and an address as part of your business. That's what you need to set up. And so... overcome the fear factor, because that's self-imposed and that's not the reality, and it is new. But I have been around long enough to show my age that I remember the days when emails first came out. I was working in the days of faxes. When email addresses came out, people says, I don't want an email address, you know. And then the mobile phone came out. It's like, I'm not going to have a mobile phone. And then, you know, when websites become a necessity, I don't really need a website. But guess what? It's the same conversation, is that initial fear, but then now it's become mainstream. Guess what? Same with Facebook. You can have your fear and you can have your pushback, but it is just as mainstream as having an email address, a mobile phone, and a website.
Yeah, I'm with you. But I do sometimes hear about, but how will I manage the comments? And what if someone complains and all the rest of it? And my attitude is, well, it hasn't happened yet. The chances are low. Get in, give it a go. Can manage that later on if it happens.
Oh, and you know what? It's the media. The media tells us that the trolls, they keep talking about the trolls and people worry about the trolls. But, you know, if you do a good service, and look, you know, people complain. We actually advise our clients, don't ever delete the post if somebody complains. Actually respond to them. Mm-hmm. And that's what you call moments of truth. And what you get is that you'll get more customers that way when they see how you handle negative feedback, negative clients. Because the reality is that people understand people are people. You know, there are some doofus out there who will put a negative comment, and if you respond in a professional and in a, you know, a way that, you know, that highlights your amazingness, then people get to see that. And you know what, we're not idiots. We're all, you know what the reality is. And so, you know, you don't just take one post or as you know, the actual review. And so part of the research, what most people do is to see what's out there. And the more information you have out there, the more likely that they will understand what you're all about before coming to you.
Yeah, a bit of honesty.
And as a parent, I see that. You know, I was actually, just to let you know, my mother needed to see a specialist in Canberra, and I don't know any, but she doesn't know how to use Facebook. And so I researched for her. I looked at the review. I looked at the comments, and I told her, see this one and that one, based on people I don't know what they said about those people. And she did.
It's the marketplace. It's the marketplace. Used to, yeah. Yeah. I'm so old that I can even remember the yellow pages. Where we'd through all of that stuff.
Yes, I remember my fingers were doing the walking for me.
Oh, they were. Gosh.
just on a joke, sorry, the other day.
Oh, you got a joke?
I'm still so old school because I say, oh, I was videotaping this, and then I just realized we don't videotape anymore.
No. Yeah, you can delete the tape bit. Continue.
Yeah, I know, but it just shows like how old I am.
If we can have some fun with the marketing part of your brain, and we're inching towards actually uncovering what you actually do at Curate B. But website is part of your marketing strategy and your online presence, yeah. Digital marketing. What do you absolutely love to see on people's websites?
So with Allied Health, what's really important is not to see very technical words. Mm-hmm. It's simple language like you would speak to your to the mums or dads, you know, for the kids' side or to the adults. What is it that you can do? And have blogs, I would say. Blogs is also a good indication of your voice. And in terms of booking, I have to tell you, Kathy, the number of times I have used try to call or email from the information on the website and can't get through. Nobody responds. And that's like simple things like that. But what we recommend is make sure that you do respond to the email addresses and that you do make sure you answer the phone.
Customer service 101.
Yeah. But I would like to see, from my perspective, and this is maybe a little bit too much out there, I would love to see that I can make an appointment on the website.
Mm. It's coming. It's happening, which is good.
I know, but it is out there at the moment. The whole idea. So, look, if you're not ready for it, if people are not ready for it, just get your email address or your phone number right and make sure you respond and not be this part of Bermuda Triangle, which a lot of allied health practitioners are in.
I think sometimes what happens with that online booking is we're still a little attached to the medical model and still a little attached to the expert model, and that there is this thing where we take a phone call and we send a questionnaire, which I'm a fan of, and that we sort of meet and all the rest of it. And there's a little bit of control through that process. And for some practitioners, it could be quite scary for someone to just walk in the door. I'm really happy with that, and it was something that I still do. But there's also kind of this, well, I should know more about them and I should be prepared and this and that and the other. So interestingly enough, the practice management software systems are increasingly offering a link to online direct into calendar bookings, and that will be a thing for sure. But there's still a little bit of kind of hand-wringing going on behind the scenes, I suspect.
Well, I was going to say the questionnaire can also be part of the process. So I'm saying is that we're moving the process further down rather than just like walking in the door and sussing everything out.
Yeah.
And look, don't forget, like as a parent, a lot of clients for Allied Health, they work. And so the time that you actually have time to make a booking or call somebody is actually always outside of hours. I remember every morning I wake up and say, I must remember to make an appointment. And then I forget it during the day because I'm working. And then I come home at night and I say, oh, damn, I forgot about that. Sorry, didn't mean to swear. So if you can accept appointments, which is a lot of the parents do, is at midnight and do whatever necessary and organize for the week online, that would be awesome.
Oh, good. Love it. Any other must-haves on websites?
Subscribe to newsletters. Please send newsletters to your clients because you're nurturing them and you're giving them info and you're building that. They're your champions. Yeah. And I would love to forward them to other mums or dads, in my cases, of a really good therapist, but I forget. And the newsletter prompts that. And then I forward it. So, oh, yeah, this is the one we're using for Allegra. Here you go. And that remind you know, then I don't have to worry about finding all the details.
Yeah. So that's really interesting to hear it from a reading parent's perspective because that kind of just brings it to life and the effort that goes into investing in the newsletter. It has great value. And, you know, the marketing side of your head is probably pinging now because the content that you write for a newsletter can be repurposed and it can be blogs and tweets and all sorts of posts in all sorts of places. So thank you for shining the light on newsletters. I'm a fan and I've written one once a month for far too many years, but it's a process I really enjoy and it does have that value and that multi-purpose piece.
Yeah, it can be simple. It can be, you know, just make it useful. It doesn't have to be War and Peace. And monthly, I would say, is the absolute minimum. Weekly is ideal, but I know how long it takes.
Wow, okay.
Research actually shows that you generate more revenue with greater frequency of newsletters.
Now you tell me. Oh, gosh, I'm going to have to process that. That's interesting. Okay, well, you can explain that to me more when we catch up next. So if we switch to your professional life, you've got a really interesting business and it's a business that I think everybody needs, an organization that can help business owners find and schedule and test and measure social media content. So that's a very layman's interpretation of it. So explain to us a bit more about CurateB.
So, I mean, CurateB is almost 5 years old and we're actually considered as the, it's very established and old for social media business.
You've used the word old a few times, Sandra.
I know, maybe because I'm feeling old today. I guess, you know, what I wanted to, the reason why I'm doing that, and I know maybe that kind of relates to the title of Social Media for Baby Boomers, is that social media is not just for the young people. It's for all of us. It's for any age group and you can really get – it has a lot of benefits one way or the other. So going back, I guess, to what we do, CurateB, over the time and learning, and we practice so much of what we say for our clients that we offer fixed price packages that's designed for small business to generate leads. And it's based on our experience. We actually put together the package because that's the best way of delivering it. And we do as much as we can behind the scenes for the clients so that they can focus on the business. And that is my passion, is because I can see a lot of people stress over it and we try to take the stress levels out of it.
Yeah. And I was really delighted to hear when we were speaking the other day that you're working with more and more allied health professionals.
Yes, yes. And even just I think in the last few days, I've meeting more and more groups of people who from Allied Health who's working with us, and I love it. I love this group because I love the work that that is, you know, in helping people, and we like to help people, and certainly think that you know, like I said, from the really archaic process to being more open and needing this sort of services, and we're set up to help them.
So what are your typical customers? What do they look like?
So I've rebranded and call it that what we do is design for small business, but our customers do vary from Asia Pacific representation of a global business, because they don't want to hire a whole marketing team, and so they use us to deliver the services, and they know it fits into the fixed price of their budget. And they tend to, apparently they tend to have a small budget, but all the way to startups, you know, startups, micro business, professionals and technology businesses who need to use content marketing, social media, websites to help get new clients on board.
And am I right in thinking that you really help the business owners nut out the sort of content that they need? It's not a method of assumption at all, that it's actually quite skill building exercise. And then, you know, they are somewhat the architects of it to an extent, but then you buzz off and find content that's that editorial mission.
Totally. And so we've developed this, what we call a five-step DNA process, and where our process, and we've learned that if we deviate from our process, we get into trouble, but our process helps replicate their brand, be their voice, and totally behind the scene to do the work. So nobody actually, you know, nobody knows that it's Curate B doing the work for them, whether it's writing the blogs for them, their newsletter, or doing their social media posts, or even creating their website. We're completely behind the scene, and all we focus on is making the clients look good and get leads. But ultimately, in order to get to that stage, because we don't want the clients to have to micromanage us, we need to learn about the business. And so we have this induction process that gives us the necessary information to do the work that we need to do.
Oh, just sounds like such a solution. Well done. Well done.
Thank you. Well done. It's taken us, evolved over that, but like it all comes from the passion that wanting to take the stress level off the business owners or the businesses, and so they can focus what they really enjoy, and the digital marketing is a necessity, and we just handle that as much as we can.
Lovely. As I said just before I hit the recording, I was very, very amiss, and I didn't realise that you'd written a book. When I get my greasy mitts on a copy of it, what's in there?
Well, it's actually it's all the stuff that we do that I've put in the book, our approaches, our knowledge, and it's not a book about how to use Facebook or LinkedIn. It is a book of the strategy of how to take your knowledge and how to share it. And so it's actually designed for people, like you said, who are afraid of being out there. It's, you know, I even one section, there's a chapter and it says overcoming fear. It's all of that, of how to use social media with your knowledge, overcoming the fear, and the best kind of strategy to deliver the information that you need to put it out there in social media. And maybe it's a little bit of a motivational book, because I do believe in trying to help people overcoming fear that prevents us from doing great things. And that's what that's what it's all about.
It also sounds like a book to help you kind of shift mindset as well, because we do get a bit head up about the technical side of things, and because we don't understand it and don't want to understand it, we certainly don't want to do it, that just closes that door. What we're all learning is this whole piece of delegation and outsourcing in Allied Health. We've been trained to do it all and to be seen to be the person that controls and manages and pushes and pulls and so on and so forth. And now that we're in this heightened business environment, it's important to us that we understand everything that we're doing. And so that takes a million years. And then we have to understand that we don't actually have to do it. We can delegate and outsource, and that takes another million years. And so what I'm seeing in this last 5 years is more growth and shift in mindset and risk and exposure and joy on in digital marketing than I think in the 55 years previous. Yes. So I can't imagine what the next 5 years will look like as we all embrace video and virtual reality and whatever good stuff is coming our way.
Yes, and, you know, maybe we do everything through the apps and holograms and, you know, who knows?
Holograms, absolutely.
Yes.
Gosh, amazing. Thank you so much for your time. With this series, I'm letting my guests have two things, if you like. One, they've got the chance to ask me a question, so I don't know if you've given that any thought. But, let's start with that one. Is there anything that you want to ask me?
You're putting me on the spot. Let me just have a look.
That would be my job. You know,
I would like to ask you, I guess, it was quite insightful that you said that with Allied Health, the conditioning or the training is about doing everything yourself. And so, and then having to learn to delegate. But I guess, you know, Kathy, with your amazing work that you do, how do you think, let me rephrase this question. how do you think that practitioners can use fear to their advantage? It's a tough one.
I almost wish you didn't rephrase that. How can they use fear to their advantage? Man, oh man, let's just bring out the bottle of wine. I think fear is many things, and fear is different things to different people. And we all have fears. I have fears in my business at the moment, and, you know, got a notebook on them at the moment. And I think fear becomes a tool when you actually know what your fears are, and that you have some awareness around them, and that you have a sense of collegiate support that other people have similar fears. And sometimes some of the coaching work I do is sort of saying, I understand that, I hear that. The good news is you're not alone. A lot of my other clients have fear A, B, or C. And so knowing you've got them, giving them a name, getting comfy with them, knowing that other people have them, sort of is, in my thinking, the start of that shift of how to work with them. I don't know that you ever work around them. I think you learn to work with them. And for some of the bits that are completely terrifying, that might be where you do some personal development. It might be where you do some really quick delegating and outsourcing as well. And to kind of, be comfortable with them and have them mapped and know that other people have them and to find some workarounds, I think is how you, I don't know if they ever become an advantage. I'm going to enjoy thinking about that now for the rest of the afternoon.
I think that's a really good answer, because you're basically saying that you can turn fear into strengths.
Or you can be mindful of the strengths you already have that you can completely dial up that can compensate and remediate and work around some of those more compromised parts. It's when fear shuts you down and stops you from doing your best awesome service to the planet that it's somewhat problematic. And that's a space that sometimes I come across, and that needs a different sort of set of love, if you like.
It's very good. I like that.
God, really? Blood pressure's up to the top of the ears.
Oh, well, you did very well. You did very well. I think that also I can see how it can help me even with my business of because I think as business owners, we're not so risk averse, but at the same time, we do have so many challenges. challenges than a typical person. So
on a daily basis. And it's our persistence and it's our degree of crazy. And it's also about the support team. And we both have strong support teams and both work with a business mentor. And having that is just such a game changer.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah. Okay, so you've got the last. So the second thing that guests have is they have the last say, and this is me throwing you the open mic to share what you wish for allied health professionals, and to perhaps remind us about the amazing services that your business has, and to kind of shout to your website and your book, and have the final say.
Well, I truly wish to really highlight the amazing work that allied health practitioners do. I feel that sometimes they're treated as a poor cousin of the medical professionals, but actually their work is instrumental in helping people live a better life, whatever it is, you know, if I surround that. So I just want to put it out there. That's what you guys do, and that's what it's inspirational, and that feel that you need to actually let people see you shine and know about you. You know what, Kathy? I think I will also be the kind of person that gives as much as Allied Health, and I will give a free copy of any of your listeners who emails me and asks for a copy.
Of your book?
Of my book. So if they email sales@curatebee.com, I'll do it until we run out of copies. How about that?
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
All right.
And
we're secretly really pleased with our listening numbers. So
yes. That was
good luck.
Yes. So email to sales@curatebee.com. Why I say to that email address is because my team would be better at sending a book to you than sitting in my inbox, because I'm always so behind with my emails. And read the book, learn from it, and practice it.
And your website, once again?
Yeah, my website is curatebee.com. So it's spelled curatebee.com. And on our website, we also have a freebies section. Freebies.
Oh, that's right. Got it. Yeah, I got it. I saw it.
Yeah. and you can watch videos, download ebook, and inhale as much information as you like, or knowledge, from our website.
Thank you. Such a good chance to catch up. Luckily, we get to connect again in a couple of weeks, so that will be good. And I think you're going to come in and talk with some of my clients as well in the thing over the lunch and learn. Thank you. I hope you have a wonderful afternoon. And we'll be in touch. Thank you so much, Sandra
D'Souza.
See you later. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for investing your time right through to the end of this episode of Private Practice Secrets. If you're running a private practice and keen for more business confidence and management know-how, head on over to our website, nacre.com.au. I'll spell it, nacre.com.au. Over there, you'll find all sorts of business resources and inspiration, blogs, forms, web events, freebies, our virtual conference information, workshops, and more. And don't be shy. Take advantage of the free power call and book yourself into my diary for the chance to have a business chat and to pick my brains. I'm Kathy Love, Allied Health Business Coach, wishing you and your business a brilliant day.